T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Getting you set for Week 5 in Washington. Patriots.
But the New England Patriots remain undefeated.
Redskins.
Holy cow, what a start for Washington.
Now broadcasting from the Best Yet studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. With Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
From our Best Yet studio in Brighton, this is NFL Sunday, Week 5. The 4-0 Patriots taking on the 0-4 Washington Redskins today at 1 o'clock. It is Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Fellas, how are you?
Hello!
What is good?
You know, just another game where the Patriots are favored by double digits.
By a lot.
They happen to be on the road. Nobody thinks this is going to be a close game, but there's still plenty to talk about.
Well, today would be a great day to get back into the Antonio Brown saga.
Get it, dive right in. What do you think?
I have a lot of things that I feel like I left on the table.
You have a few leftover thoughts.
He's got one of his analogies.
But one of the guys that we thought was going to be back is not, and that's Benjamin Watson. He was not at practice on Wednesday, but then apparently he was spotted there later in the week. He was never even activated. It was a 4-game suspension for Watson. And didn't we kind of think that even if he doesn't have a ton left in the tank, he was an upgrade over Lacoste and Izzo, and as soon as he'd be eligible to play, he'd be able to play?
Right. That's what we all thought.
So what's going on?
Everybody like, here comes Ben Watson. Here comes the savior. He's going to roll in. He, you know, fresh legs, should be ready to go, and will help out that tight end position now. I don't really understand the purpose of him not even being...
I thought he'd be ready to go, so like, immediately.
Well, is he on the 53-man roster?
I checked on this for you guys.
Okay, so, scoops.
So first of all, because my question was, all right, well, was he hurt? Because, I had seen Ben maybe about a week and a half ago working out. He was out there on the field working out, running routes, had his pads on, and he looked great, you know? So I was like, all right, just whatever. And then I checked up on it, and because my first question was, wow, he must be hurt. He's not hurt, so it just must be a you know, we're just not ready that you're ready to go you know, and play. That's got to be the only thing, because if he's not injured,
right,
then what would it be?
And he's, well, okay, and he was cleared from the concussion protocol, right?
Yeah, he got a concussion like in week one of the preseason, or week two or something like that. He's
should
fine.
Should be back.
And if he still had a concussion, he wouldn't be able to run around and work out, which I know for a fact he was doing. So it's got to be one of those things where, you know, we're just going to slowly integrate you into the system, right? I mean, what else could it be? Because I don't think Ben pissed anybody off.
But what's up with that, though? This was a guy who spent 6 years in New England. I know it was a long time ago, but has since come back. We always hear about how important it is to be a veteran in the offense, right? Tom Brady loves the veteran guys. Got to be a veteran guy. Can't be more veteran than Ben Watson. And he was here in camp. He was here in preseason, and he's not ready to go.
Well, usually when you say slowly get you caught up to speed and back into it, that to me really means, well, they got somebody at the position that they're comfortable with, and hey, don't worry about it. Take your time.
Yeah, that's
this
not
is
it.
Kind of a one of those head scratches where you look at it and go, the tight end position is really giving you nothing in the passing game.
Yeah,
what Ben Watson has left in the tank, we don't know, but we know that he could go out there and make some catches. I mean, last year he ended his season with 20 something catches, but I know he dealt with some injuries. But the year before that, he got a good amount of balls.
Yeah, he got 61 passes in Baltimore 2 years ago.
So
74 the year before that.
Right. And last year
74 catches.
And last year he was I think he was hurt a little bit throughout the season. So when you think of a guy and they say, well, we're gonna, you know, ease you back into it.
That's a head scratcher.
Right.
You know the other option could be, Wiggy?
What's
the other one? Maybe just the game plan is gonna be totally different. Maybe they feel like they just don't need him based on what they're attempting to do. Because look at every other guy that's had some sort of suspension, 4-game suspension. You could go to a couple years ago with Edelman, went right back in.
Right.
Rob Ninkovich went right back in.
Tom Brady went right back in.
Tom Brady went right back in.
Edelman, I mean, I'll go back.
Yes,
yeah, I said Edelman, yeah. But even Rodney Harrison went right back in. So, and all these guys did basically the same thing. I remember Rodney working out. I remember seeing him in the morning. He'd have his pads on, and I'd see him running around. But like, this dude is actually acting like he's playing a game. And he went right back in. He was like jamming people up at the Foxborough High School, you know, right down the street from Gillette. So that could be one. But I don't know what else it would be. I just, even with that, I'm like, you don't even want him on the trip? Like, you don't want him on the trip. Right, he's this older guy. Like Anthony Pleasant never played a down. Like when I first got here, and I like they took him everywhere. He didn't even practice. I mean, he was the older vet.
He
guy.
Just liked to, he liked to sightsee. He liked all the cities.
Yeah, it's good to maybe, it's good
they
to have
got,
that.
They got a great you know breakfast spot over here.
He loves the hotels.
It's good to have that guy on the sideline to maybe you know say, hey, here's what I'm seeing out there. You might want to do this. You might. The interesting thing is going to be this. Is when the inactive list comes out.
Yeah.
And let's say Lacoste and Izzo are both active.
Right.
Now it kind of will, it kind of like, it's different than what Christian just said because now the game plan has two tight ends. Maybe that they're not going to be playing, but you got two guys that are dressed and ready to go.
There's a good chance they both will be. We also found out already. So we have inactives at 11:30, but we already know that Rex Burkhead, Patrick Chung, and Nate Ebner all will not play.
Right. The only thing this tells me is that they feel like Izzo and Lacoste.
No, they don't. They feel what? Finish that sentence.
They feel like that they bring more to the table than what Ben Watson could bring
well,
to
the table.
Well,
that's bad because news going forward, isn't it?
Why else wouldn't you know?
Well, maybe like what Fourier was saying, you certainly don't need him. You don't need anybody
today.
Yeah,
but if you're going to dress both of them,
yeah,
then clearly you're dressing both of them for a need for them to play.
Maybe they need to determine which one of them is going to stick around once Watson's here.
But haven't they had 4 weeks?
They're both sticking around.
Haven't they had
you think they're going to keep all three of these guys, even though they're all fairly useless?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Lacoste, Ryan Izzo. Most definitely.
But they don't even use
Devlin.
If they had Devlin,
I would say probably not. But I just feel like that is way too risky. And Lacoste, I don't think Lacoste has even gotten going yet. You know, I feel
that's for sure.
I mean, and I think he's a guy that has just been snake bit by injuries and, you know, since the beginning of the season, even back to preseason. So if he's able to kind of find his gear, you know, find that third, fourth gear, I think he's going to be an option. Better than Ben is, just based on youth.
But they don't even, they don't even throw to these guys. I mean, they've played four games.
Who would you throw it to?
Who would I throw it to?
I mean, no, why would you? Why would you throw it to Ryan Izzo? You would throw it to Lacoste, but he hasn't proven himself. He hasn't even come close to proving himself.
That's what I'm saying. But knowing Brady, it's not like all of a sudden week nine, he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to throw to Lacoste. Like, it's just not going to happen. He's not going to throw to either one of those guys.
Well, he threw to Lacoste in Miami. He threw to Izzo against the Jets.
Yeah, they each have two catches. That's four combined for tight ends.
And Izzo's catch was like a fake bluff block. It wasn't like he got
it. Was the O-ish screen. It's like, you know,
he
when
he blocked out on the end, the guy that was covering him rushed. And when that guy, it's like a call it if you see it type of play.
And when you hear that play called, you're like, all right, I'm the only option in this.
Wide open. It looked like he had a piano on his back.
The Rich Keefe stat of the week was that there are 45 tight ends in the NFL who have more catches than Patriots tight ends combined.
So then why isn't Ben Watson?
I don't know. When he didn't show up on Wednesday, I was wondering if he was going to re-retire. But according to Fourier, you're saying he's there and he's not hurt.
Yeah, no. He's not hurt. I checked yesterday.
Okay.
And the thing about Ben Watson, because he's a Georgia Bulldog like me, and you know how us Georgia Bulldog tight ends are.
Yeah.
We're in great shape.
Is it Randy McMichael?
Yeah. Ben Watson has always been a guy who's in great shape, right? He's a workout warrior.
Oh, yeah, that's not the problem.
Maybe to say, okay, well, you know, we need to get him caught up to speed a little bit. He's been out for 4 weeks. He wouldn't have that type of issue. He would be the type of guy that when he came back, the coaches know, hey, this guy's been training. This guy's been working out. He should be ready to go. And when he's not, is he on the 53-man roster? What's the deal? Have they activated him? I think that's the question that I want to know. They put him officially on the 53-man
roster. No, he's not. He's not. They don't have to yet. Didn't Belichick explain to Lou?
Yeah, he has an exemption.
I think he explained the whole thing to Lou.
When does he have to make the decision on whether or not they're going to put him on?
Oh, that's actually a good question. I don't know. Maybe 4A, you guys can ask him tomorrow.
I thought it was Sunday.
Right. I thought it was before the game.
Oh, really?
That's what I thought.
There's no like kind of wiggle room here?
Like we get a week grace period?
Well, we'll talk to Kern today. Kern will definitely have the details
on that.
Maybe
he knows.
I always thought
it was like when you came back off a suspension, you're allowed that week to practice and do everything, but they had to make a decision on whether or not they're going to put you on the roster.
Yeah, and if he's not on there right now, I feel like something's up. So, because I think your point right away, Wiggy, is the best one. This is the thinnest position they have on the entire roster. Everybody just assumed, no matter what you thought of Watson, it was an upgrade.
Yeah.
Whether you thought it was like two catches a game, that's an upgrade. Maybe you thought it was more, but even if you like bare minimum, you were expecting him to play. So that's kind of an oddity. And I also wonder, is this just it? Is this what the tight end position is going to be all season? Or despite all the wide receiver trade options we've discussed, despite some of the offensive line issues that we've discussed, is there any tight ends out there available that they're going to go after? Or are they just going to have to figure it out with this group?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Unless there's the only name that I brought up is, you know, a team that could be, you know, selling everything off is like a Cincinnati and like a Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, right.
And maybe, you know, I know he's had some injuries or whatnot, but he's out there playing. And so maybe you look at him as a guy that you can come in and throw him against the wall and see if he sticks.
You know, it's funny. So like it's whenever we talk about guys that are out there, so. You know, and who's out there? You mentioned Cincinnati. Just made me laugh because Emmanuel Sanders was a name everyone has been throwing around, like to the Patriots. So I checked on that also.
Wow.
I'm like a regular Adam Schefter.
Fourier is doing work.
He's got the Dunskys all over the place.
I'm telling you what, Glenn's going to be pissed that you're saving all this good stuff for NFL Sunday, not his show.
Yeah, I checked on it also. Well, I had it the other day, but we never brought it up. and he was like, my guy is. Well, I'm not even going to tell you who he is, but he's. But anyways,
keep your sources tight.
I asked him. I could actually read the text that I sent him. I was like, okay. "What's going on?"
He
with
said,
"Dunskey
in Denver."
No, he said he's like he ain't going anywhere.
Ooh,
Sanders.
He's like, he's like, I don't know where people get this. He said, I may have to find it. Because I asked him, I was like, dude, I don't know what the deal is. Like, we're getting all this information. We're all excited about Emmanuel Sanders. He's like, dude, he ain't going anywhere.
Wow,
why?
This is breaking.
This is breaking
because
news.
Because I mean, like people like Schefter and Rapoport and Glaze, they're all like, oh yeah, Sanders is gonna be the guy.
Then he asked me to move to Denver. I asked him if he was hiring. He said, what do you want to do?
That's nice.
Well, you got options.
It's a nice city.
I hear it's a beautiful
place. Drink a lot of water, though, because the altitude.
Well, yeah.
The beers hit you worse there than they do here.
Well, then that's a pretty good thing.
That's true. It's less beers you have to take. But that's.
He's like, Big C. I was like, what's up? He's like, not going anywhere.
Wow.
Don't know where that comes from. And he hopes I'm well. And I wished him well also.
That's a good detail. Thank you.
Yes.
even with the. Who's the dude out of Minnesota? What's that dude?
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. It's just like. We all come up with our own ideas of what would work, and then we identify a team based on their current situation and go, yeah, if I was running that team, I'd want to shed all my great talent and give it away.
But all right, Diggs and Sanders to me are very different. What is the argument for Denver to keep Emmanuel Sanders?
He's like a really good player. They're hard to find. They have him under contract.
Yeah, but they only have him under contract.
They're missing a quarterback. That's their only thing.
All right. Okay, allow me to retort. They have him under contract for the rest of this season. They are currently 0-4.
Right.
He's in his 30s.
Unless they plan on bringing him back.
I doubt he's going to re-sign there. Wouldn't you want to get something for him?
That's what I would think.
Like last year when all of a sudden guys like Golden Tate were getting traded around the league, I would think. Now, Stephon Diggs, different story.
Right.
Younger, they just signed him to a big deal. He's better right now.
Well, when you think about the name Emmanuel Sanders, what have we heard from everybody except Christian, you know, who's plugged in?
We've heard that
he would be the guy on everybody's radar because of those reasons. But Christian's broke this news that
broke this thing wide open.
Wide open that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's just funny. It's the same guy that flew on a private jet to come out here and speak to Malcolm Butler one time too. So, it could all change, I guess, depending, you know, how serious the Patriots are. Because listen, somebody makes you an offer you can't refuse. I mean, what are you going to do?
Just think that
how
Sanders,
desperate are the Patriots? That's what I think the key is. How desperate are they? We like to think that they're just, hey, you know, they don't sweat anything. They're good. No, I think they're freaking panicking with their receiver situation.
Right. I'm with you. I think they really are. I think they are pretty terrified because, well, I mean, again, they took a chance on Antonio Brown for a reason, right? I mean, that wasn't just, oh, let's just add him to the mix. Like, no, they knew they needed him. So I think they're going to be very active. They realize the defense is so good, but they got to be able to still score enough points.
I bet you they're evaluating that position week
everywhere.
To week.
Yeah.
Week to week, it's like, okay, what have they done this week? And is it if they've done, you know, if they give us like one of those Pittsburgh weeks, they're like, okay, this gives us a little breathing room.
Yeah.
But let's still make sure we're turning over rocks. But then if they give us like a Buffalo week, then it's like, uh-oh, what do we need to do? Who's available? Who's out there? You know, who can we kick the tires on? So I think that's a position that you're going to see. If they don't, I know the trade deadline is a little bit over 3 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
So if they don't see consistent, let's say for the next three games, you got the Redskins, you got the Giants, and you got the Jets.
Yeah, it's not going to look like a position of, nothing's going to look like a position of
no,
need
no, but you should, you
over these 3 weeks.
But you should see consistent play coming out of group where okay, maybe we don't have to do anything. We can ride this group out for the year.
Right.
We'll still be good. Or we might need another piece.
I think they do. I think they do. And part
they
of it
most
is
definitely do.
I agree.
Okay, so
we all
agree. And I think one of the biggest problems would be, as much as I love Josh Gordon, mm-hmm. you know that I do. I was so excited when they got him. I was glad that he got reinstated. And Fournier's been on this since Jump Street.
The beginning.
Listen, first of all, he was all pro like 6 years ago.
Right, 2013,
so
the last time.
Yeah, you take a look at all the all pros of 2016 and let me know how they're playing now, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. But he's not explosive.
No.
He could still catch a contested pass, which is good because he doesn't get open.
Right.
And so
there's really no separation there.
No, it's kind of frustrating, and I think Brady still likes him and Brady will throw to him, but he's not a game breaker.
No.
At all. And so then Philip Dorsett has his limitations. He's good, but he's good when he's the forgotten guy.
Right.
Yep.
And then Edelman is, of course, you know, he's Edelman, but he's dealing with a few different injuries right now too. So that position, just with a guy like Antonio Brown, it looks light years different because he can push all those guys down
right,
to spots where they're
one your one-on-one matchup that Josh Gordon now sees. He's now going against the third corner,
right.
And he should be able to win that battle. When I say win that battle, you're not going to see a ton of separation, but him playing big, he's now become a big physical kind of like 50-50 jump ball.
David
type.
Boston late in his career.
Yeah. Like, you know, some back shoulder throws, you know, maybe go across the middle, make the tough catch.
Fournier, what'd you say? He runs two routes, three routes?
Yeah, no, two routes.
Two.
Slants and goes.
Yeah.
That's a little drag last week.
And a lot.
He had a shallow cross. Why that doesn't count?
Right. But when he caught it and he turned it upfield, it looked like he was carrying a piano on his back.
He got pretty
tired.
He's tired.
You know, it's almost like he didn't even want to put it into third gear.
He was going to blow a hammer.
It was like, why are you so careful?
It was like a walkthrough.
Yeah,
it was like he caught it in practice, and he was just like, "All right, I'm just going. Like, I'll run another 30 yards."
Like, dude, sprint! What are you doing?
It looks like, and I don't know.
I was like, I could not understand what was he like? Like he was sightseeing. There's my friend Jill. What's up? Hey, I'll meet you by the buses.
It's like he has a tender hamstring, and he's
Ginger.
Yeah, it's a ginger hamstring, and it's like he catches that. He turns the corner.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
And you're like, all right, drop that. Even the touchdown that he scored and against Pittsburgh, it's the same thing. It's like, dude, you got a hamstring injury? Like, or does your car only has three gears? Like, clearly you don't have five gears.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know what else kind of worries me with him, and it's not him like, you know, having issues like getting flagged again for drugs or something like that. I just don't feel like he can mentally focus for not only a whole season, but not a whole game. I think he checks out. I think he is a checkout guy.
Yeah.
I think he is an in-game checkout. Well, you can see how many balls does he drop. It's like,
yeah, he does drop some balls.
He's not nearly focused enough, and he doesn't concentrate enough for me.
But even some of the great receivers of all time would, like, Terrell Owens would always be tops in the league in drops.
Yeah, he would drop.
Well, but if you get thrown the ball, you know, 20 times. Look at Edelman. Edelman had a drop.
Yeah, Edelman
drops
a
lot.
Yeah, true.
He gets the ball thrown him 12 times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me isn't.
What's the best way to use Josh Gordon?
I think it's the slants. I think it's the back
and
shoulder.
The
could it be more goal line stuff?
Well, not
goal line, but red zone stuff?
Well, red zone, he looked a little awkward trying to play that jump ball, right? I think it's the slants, and the go route is more of a back shoulder, you know, jump ball, go route, or some of the deep end cutting routes where you've seen him look. The thing that I've got from Christian from watching him play, I wonder about his passion. Because he
didn't have it with you.
Right, he doesn't like show.
He already said it was a grind after week four.
He doesn't like.
Are you kidding me?
Like there are guys out there that play and they show emotion.
Yeah.
Every time I look at Josh, I'm like, where's that emotion? Like, give me some.
Yeah, are you here or what?
It's like a burden.
What's going on?
You know what coaches used to tell me all the time?
What's that?
And they used to say, even when you feel like $5, you got to fake it. And make your
fake it till you make it.
Make your body language look like you feel like $5 million, right? And I look at his body language at times, and the way you get up after maybe an incomplete pass, the way you run the slant, it gets contested. Sometimes you look at his body language, and that passion is just like. Something missing.
There is something missing there, and it's frustrating.
Like the expectations, I think the other reason that if they want to get the most out of him, they need to have an alpha dog. He's not the guy. He doesn't want it.
No,
He likes flying under the radar. That is his style. That's what you know. Listen, that's a comfort zone for him. So now what? Now I'm going to be criticized because I can't catch the ball. And now everybody.
Antonio Brown was the best thing for him. I know Bruschi said it was the worst thing for him.
Right.
But we all disagreed. That was the best thing, obviously, for Brady, but for Josh Gordon specifically.
Right.
Antonio Brown took all of the attention on and off the field. All of the attention away from him.
But that's a good point that I didn't even really kind of think about it until Christian just said it. But he almost feels more comfortable being the third wide receiver that you don't need to target him a ton.
Right.
Just let him get his four or five targets. He's kind of that one person that just stays in the back, stays out of sight, out of mind, as far as, you know, being the, like you said, the alpha dog.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you look at it, Philip Dorsett's not that guy. Philip Dorsett's not the alpha dog.
No.
And Julian is the alpha dog, but to a certain point.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost like he's a 1A.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's an island unto himself. It's like he's no, he can almost work independently of anybody, really.
It's true.
You can stick him in any offense
and
we're gonna run an option route. If they vice you, fine, whatever, but just play the leverage. Like, I mean, everybody has those routes.
Yeah, you got Brady down a little bit, and then it's like, what else do you have?
Yeah.
Like, whether it's Gronk or whether it's –
Yeah, so you just – I've said it from the beginning. I felt like I liked the receiving core. They just needed one more body.
Yep.
Now, N'Keal Harry, you know, was supposed to be that guy even as a rookie. And so then Antonio Brown takes his spot. Oh, you can't do it without Antonio Brown. No, you just need another guy. And he doesn't need to be the best wide receiver. Can he be a competent wide receiver that has like
We all thought of that guy was Emmanuel Sanders.
Nope. He's not going anywhere.
Apparently he's not. I mean,
Emmanuel Sanders would be the perfect fit.
He'd be good
for everything that we're talking about because now that would bump.
So would Diggs.
Diggs, but like you
said,
other stuff, Emmanuel Sanders, would that bump down Josh Gordon and Philip Dorsett?
Patriot Storylines are brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Talking about the Patriots wide receiver situation. No Ben Watson. He has not been activated. So
he's not even on the roster.
No, he's not on the roster right now. So we're talking about that. Also, we can get into some good kicker talk. We've had a lot of good kicker talk.
Oh,
a lot of kicker stuff
Rich
this
Keefe
week.
Rich Keefe loves this. He's been calling for this since week one, week two.
And we'll take your phone call, 617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Tom Brady joins the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning on Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Needham Bank. Patriots trying to get to 5-0 today. They take on the winless Washington Redskins, who are going with Colt McCoy as their starting quarterback.
Yeah,
Colt McCoy?
I'm like, why not just play
Haskins?
Yeah, Haskins.
I think he'd get killed. I think he would get killed.
So what?
He threw three picks against the Giants. He might throw six picks today.
Who knows? Maybe he plays well. Maybe he pulls a Daniel Jones. He plays
Danny
well.
Dimes.
And he plays well. He gets some confidence.
Yeah, maybe. There's some early inactives today. Rex Burkhead, Patrick Chung, and Nate Ebner have already been ruled out. And as we said, Benjamin Watson has not been activated from his four-game suspension. Therefore, he's also out. Dante Hightower is expected to play. Baseball, Yankees beat the Twins 8-2, taking a 2-0 series lead. Astros top the Rays 3-1. Garrett Cole, 7 2/3 innings with 15 strikeouts. Both Game 3s will be tomorrow, where the Twins and Rays will face elimination. Both NLDS series continue today. Braves and Cardinals at 4:10. Dodgers Nationals 7:45. Both series tied at a game apiece. According to Ian Rapoport, Antonio Brown has officially filed grievances against the Raiders and Patriots, seeking upwards of $40 million. Bruins beat the Arizona Coyotes 1-0. Brad Marchand scored the lone goal. Yaroslav Halak had 35 saves in the shutout. Bruins are back in action Tuesday night against the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Celtics begin their preseason schedule tonight at 6, taking on Terry Rozier and the Charlotte Hornets. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
I mean, we've dealt with it before. We had Lonnie Paxton got hurt. We had to go through some changes with the snapper. We had, you know, Sauerbrunn punted for us. You know, so it changes the punter. Look, through the years, I've been lucky. We have had a lot of stability. There's no doubt about that, but look, sometimes things happen and you have to make changes. Like any other position, do the best you can. You know, Steve Gostkowski is one of the greatest kickers of all time. He's been great for this franchise.
Bill Belichick earlier this week talking about one of the greatest kickers of all time, Steven Gostkowski, who is done for the season. He needs hip surgery. Welcome back to NFL Sunday. It's Keith Fourier and Wiggy. And so now we can stop debating, you know, how many missed field goals are we going to see until they make a change, how many missed extra points or whatever it is. Clearly something was up with Gostkowski. He is out. Mike Nugent is in at some point. Like, what's your confidence level right now in Mike Nugent?
I don't have any.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
You really can't.
I mean, but I guess that right now, does it even matter? Like, this week, does it even matter?
This week, it does not. Next week, it does not. The week after that, it does not.
It's not going to matter until there's a big kick against in a game where you're like, uh-oh, the Pats need this kick to win, tie, something of that nature. It has to be a crucial and critical kick.
But let me ask you this. If they were playing week 14 against the Chiefs, yes, and it was coming down to a 45-yard field goal, mm-hmm, would you be super confident in Gostkowski to make it?
Well,
I would not be.
I would be more confident, and
I'd probably be more so than Nugent, but even still I wouldn't be like, this is over.
I would have to look at how the year has been going to that point, right?
Yeah.
When you look at where he's been pretty good on field goals, but he stinks on extra points. So if it was a field goal, I'd be like, all right. This is about a 70% chance he makes
this. Or he could miss an extra point earlier in the game, and then he got to be going for two later.
If you ask me, Gostkowski on an extra point.
You're nervous.
Now I'm nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mike Nugent, it's gonna be too hard to make that decision, or, you know, when you say, how do you feel about him, until we see him in that big game.
And doesn't this go back to the conversation we were having about the wide receivers, too, just about the offense? Like, the more points they can score, the more room for error there is with a kicker. But if your offense all of a sudden is not that high-scoring offense, well, you can't leave any extra points off the board. You better hit all of your 40 and in field goals.
But what's the difference? Why wouldn't everybody around here just be all confident and happy with Mike Nugent? Because prior to Gostkowski getting hurt, everybody wanted to ship him out of here. He was like, you know, the most wanted person in New England. And now it's like, wait a second.
Nugent's not great, but the key distinction is, you know, because everybody's been quick to point out Stephen Gostkowski's career stats. Yeah, great. He's had a great career. His season's been horrible.
But I think most people thought like you did.
Yeah.
Because you were like,
move on.
You were like, move on and get me somebody else.
Yes.
So you should be happy that Mike Nugent's here.
But Mike Nugent, I would rather maybe one of the young guys, but whatever. It's Mike Nugent,
whatever.
The guy. I think he'll be fine. I think there's limitations with Nugent. He's not going to be a guy that you're lining up 50-yard field goals with. He doesn't have the best leg. Also, there was a stretch going back a couple years ago where he missed 6 extra points in a season. So you can't have that.
Well, see, it seems like now you don't like Mike Nugent.
I don't love Mike Nugent. I love the idea of a new player or a new kicker, just not this new kicker.
I tell you what, like this is I think this is we're not going to really see. I don't think anyone's going to be really stressed out about it for a while. But this, to me, is like a huge thing. Regardless of what you thought of Gostkowski, for the most part, based on what other teams were dealing with in their situation,
right,
he was good. You take him over so many other of these kickers is ridiculous. Yet now here we are dealing with the same situation that other teams deal with. It's a Mr. Toad's wild ride when it comes to whether or not this guy's
here.
I don't know.
Another Toad reference.
I don't know.
Christian's right. Christian's right.
Honestly, you acting like this is such a. I mean, the games. When the games matter, I think there's 3 games that are going to really tell the tale. It's going to be Philly, Dallas, and KC. You know, sure, maybe you find yourself in a dogfight with a team that you didn't expect to, but for the most part, you can expect those 3 teams, they're not going to be intimidated by you. They have enough firepower on offense to at least challenge or threaten your defense to force your offense to do more, which we don't know if they can even do. So I just feel like that's when it's really going to matter. It's a big problem. And if the main goal is going to the Super Bowl, you know, like that's going to be the reason why you don't go. A freaking kicker? You're going to want to kill yourself.
And when you look at, like you said, with Gostkowski, you start looking at other kickers throughout the league. Look at the Rams game from Seattle the other night, right? The Rams lose that game because their field goal kicker goes, you know, pushes it just right, just a little bit.
We've seen so many games come down to it already this year.
So
last season, though, if you want to take last season into account and say, hey, this season, you know, maybe it was just because he was hurt and so you wouldn't have confidence in him. But last season, he was 5th in extra point percentage. Mm-hmm. But he was 19th in field goal percentage. So if you're like, oh, well, how many kickers are better? Like, I don't know, apparently a ton.
Right, but when you looked at...
Now, I know those guys aren't available on the street. That's a little bit different conversation.
But when you looked at the kicker you had, right?
Yeah.
You probably said, okay, you know, I like him, but he can tend to... He can be a little shaky at times, but you were still... I maybe confident might not be the right word, but you still felt like, okay, we at least have a guy when you start comparing it to some other teams in the National Football League.
But I did think that there was a bad trend where he would miss kicks in Super Bowls, in AFC Championship games, and it was extra points, and then you had to go for 2, or it was, you know, a close game, and you could have had a chance to add 3 on the board, and you don't. Now you're chasing points again. There were times... Now, he's not perfect. He's also not horrible, but it was one of those things where...
His biggest knock or the thing that people, you know or the first thing that pops up to your mind with Stephen Gostkowski in recent history are the big kicks that he missed. So that's why we judge him the way we judge him.
And the guy he was replacing is just... has the most memorable makes of all time. Like, Vinatieri also missed field goals, but it doesn't matter.
One has the most memorable makes, and the other one has the most memorable misses. And
that's a tough guy to follow.
And that's why when you look at Gostkowski, even though he's a really good kicker, the things that stand out the most, and granted, it might only be like 3, 4, or 5 kicks, but they were huge kicks at huge times.
So if Bill is labeling Gostkowski one of the greatest kickers of all time, then what is Adam Vinatieri?
The greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and again, think about the run of success and luck or whatever you want to call it that they've had.
Yeah, that's insane. What a run.
One of the most unheralded, you know, under the radar type positions is the kicker. The kicker. You don't really care about him until it matters. Well, you don't care about him until it matters. To me, it's like insane how good they have been at that position.
I mean, for over 20 years.
Two guys.
How
many Super Bowls have they won with Gostkowski? Three, right?
Three. It's 3-3, isn't it?
Right. It's 3-3. Yeah. They won three with Vinatieri, right. But the three that they won with Vinatieri all came on the end of his foot.
I was going to say Vinatieri was a bigger part of
right.
it.
Right. Because they all came down to him making some type of field goal.
Oh, my
the
God.
The three that they won with Gostkowski, he was really never an you know, he never really played a major role in them winning that game.
Well, it didn't end with a kick that was as time expired.
Right,
you know?
That's
so,
insane. Right, so when
and
you,
if he doesn't kick those two kicks in the snowball, Wiggy, people right. aren't still talking about right. your performance of that game because it would have been in a loss.
Right, so when you look at those two kickers and you try to compare them,
yeah.
you've got one guy that was part of the dynasty, the first three Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But all three of those championships or Super Bowls or big playoff games, there was huge kicks that he made. The other guy, he made a bunch of kicks in the playoff runs.
Yeah.
But no kick really was, determining factor of them winning the Super Bowl or them winning the game. The only thing you remember with him is the ones that he missed to keep you from going to some of those games.
I think overall he had a really solid career. I don't agree with Belichick that he's one of the greatest of all time.
But I think Bill's doing percentages and things of that nature.
And that's fine. And again, you can say, well, Bill knows more than you. You're right. But I think it's also his guy. He likes his guy. The new age of kickers, like all these guys that are in the league now, they have such higher percentages than mm-hmm. the guys in the back in the day. We spent a lot of time during the week kind of going through some of these numbers. Like Hall of Famers like Morton Anderson mm-hmm. rank in like the 50s or 60s all time for like field goal percentage. It's all the guys that are playing now.
Right.
So if you think Gostkowski is one of the best kickers of all time, and maybe out there you do, well, then you also think Robbie Gould is one of the best of all time and Will Lutz is one of the best of all time. And like, if you're basing it off of numbers, those guys have better numbers than Gostkowski.
Well, that's the way you would probably base a kicker, right?
I still go, and Andy Hart, I think, brought this up, and I like it. If you had one guy mm-hmm. to kick one field goal to win a game,
right.
who would you want? But and for me, it's Vinatieri every time.
Right, it's Vinatieri because Vinatieri was fortunate enough to play on a team.
Right. I mean, you got to be in the spot to do it.
Right, who play on a team that they always, his playoff runs came down to him having to make a big kick
yeah.
to win games, right? He was fortunate enough to do that. When you look at the other kickers, think about how many other kickers haven't been as fortunate. We remember the ones, the kicker for the Buffalo Bills, I forget.
Scott Norwood,
who went wide right. Then there was the kicker for, it was might have been Morton Anderson for the Atlanta Falcons.
It was like Gary Anderson?
Or maybe, I forget, the left-footed kicker who missed.
Oh, was it Morton then?
I'm not sure.
It's one of the Andersons, and they had, he like didn't miss a kick all season,
right,
and then he prevented them from going to the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, he ends
right.
up missing a kick in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the kickers, there haven't been a ton of kickers that have been in the situations
that have
like
had
Vinatieri.
That chance. Yeah, right. No, that's true. Let's go to the phones. We got Jimmy in Pittsfield. What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good. Nice show this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you guys a couple of points, if you don't mind, about the predictability of the offense
sure.
last week. I noticed that Sony Michel was out on first down almost every single time, and I'm thinking that they need to potentially put James White out there on first down now and again. The other thought that I had, you know, to kind of keep them guessing. And then the other thought that I had was I don't really know too much about this kid they used to replace Devlin, but why not stick Brandon Bolden in there at the fullback spot every once in a while just to keep them guessing? You know, the first touchdown was Brandon Bolden and a reverse. You know, he's somebody that Brady trusts. He can catch the ball. He's pretty big. So those are just the two things I thought Josh McDaniel could do to try to make the defense guess a little more. It just seemed like Buffalo were never fooled.
Yeah, no, it's something that I think we've discussed for a whole year now. I mean, going back to last season, essentially when Sony Michel's out there, they hand it to him.
Right.
And when James White's out there, they throw either to him or to somebody else. And in preseason, they tried to get away from that. All the reports out of camp were that, they're throwing the ball to Sony Michel. Oh, they're handing it to James White. But then it seems like you get into a game and they just go right back to being pretty predictable.
Yeah, he's been targeted once through four games.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's...
They're not throwing him the football.
And again, against Washington, it's not going to matter. But against a good defense like Buffalo or against a good defense like Dallas that you're going to face later on in the season, like that could come back at you. 617-779-7937 is the number to jump aboard. This is NFL Sunday. Tommy Kern will join us at 11:30. That's also when the inactives will come out. Adam Schefter just reporting now that Julian Edelman will play. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Rex Burkhead, we know, is out, as is Patrick Chung and Nate Ebner. We want to play another game.
We're going to play another game. Maybe I can
between
bounce
Wiggy
back.
And Fourier. Wiggy won last week pretty dramatically.
What? Christian won. Christian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fourier won. Wiggy
got
crushed.
He got skunked.
Wiggy got crushed last week. Yeah, all right. He got skunked. All right, we'll see how they do when we come back.
Clapped.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
Michael, if you're a Redskins player and you hear Wednesday your head coach asked what his plan is at quarterback, and he goes, well, we have no plan.
Oh, my God. Dude. Come on now. You got, honestly, man, it's the worst thing. It's the absolute worst thing that a team can hear their head coach say. And Jimmy would always say, I talk to my team in the media. You know what I mean? I talk to them through the media. They, you know, they're listening. And everybody always gets that packet and reads through every article that's written about the team. So for your team to hear that you have no plan, I don't care if it's on eating breakfast. You can never say you have no plan.
Michael Irvin joins us every Friday during the football season on Dale and Keith. That was him talking about the Redskins quarterback situation, which they have finally determined it will be Colt McCoy. Mm-hmm. Case Keenum's dealing with an injury. Dwayne Haskins, the rookie, doesn't appear to be ready. He played last week, threw three interceptions. So it's kind of underrated about the Redskins is their quarterback issues. I feel like the Jets, the Dolphins, the Browns, everybody points to them about how many starting quarterbacks they have.
Right.
The Redskins,
they're right in that bowl,
they're
too.
They're right in there. And so we're bringing back this tried and true. Hopefully you guys didn't cheat and look this up and assume this was going to be the game today.
How did we know that?
Last week we went through Buffalo Bills quarterbacks.
But we didn't even know there was going to be a game today.
That's true. There's no game?
No. Your game.
Oh, I know.
The game.
What is the game?
The game is this. Name as many starting quarterbacks since Tom Brady's been the quarterback for the Patriots with the Redskins.
So going back
to 2001, not 2000, Wiggy, where you had a problem. Now, to be clear, there's a huge advantage here for Fourier because he played for the Redskins.
Right, I didn't play for the Redskins.
He played for the Redskins. You were just there for a year, though, right, Fourier?
Not even a year.
Okay. But still, you were there.
Okay.
So you at least know a couple of those guys. But Wiggy, you're a football savant.
Yeah, I am a football savant.
So, but Fourier won last week. He was able to name more Bills starting quarterbacks. So, Fourier, would you like to go first, or would you like to allow Wiggy to go first?
No, I want Wiggy to go first.
Because
I know I'll get a lot.
I know. I figure you will. So, Wiggy, all right, look, we're going back and forth here. Starting quarterback since 01.
Right.
01. So, don't give me Mark Rippon.
I'm going with recent ones.
Okay.
Alex Smith.
Good one, Wiggy.
Easy. All right. I'll give you an easy one. Jason Campbell.
Yes. Jason Campbell's our first round pick.
Colt McCoy.
Good one. Good one.
Dwayne Haskins.
No.
Yes!
Dwayne Haskins was not a starter.
He has not started yet.
He has not started yet. Yeah,
Wiggy's
no technical.
I'm going to
you. No, you can have that.
Jermaine.
No, you can have it.
Wiggins.
Keep going. No, the game's not over.
Keep going.
All right, now you keep naming guys.
Yeah, now I keep naming guys.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so.
Now I'm just going to wipe you. I was going to be nice. Now I'm just going to completely wipe you from the floor.
No, but you lost.
You
lost.
Yeah. Remember when
you said
I lost
Dwayne Haskins?
I lost
Mark Brunell, Jason Camp, Donovan McNabb, Rex Grossman, Rob Griffin III. You can't name me. Kirk Cousins.
He's not even giving me a chance to name him.
He's not. He's a sore loser.
I am the worst loser you'll ever meet in your life.
He repeated Jason Campbell.
Yeah, he said Jason Campbell a second time. So Fourier's lost twice now.
Shut up, John. Nobody's even talking to you.
How many in total? Because last week
they have had nine.
It's not going to be Green Bay.
They've had 19 starting quarterbacks since 2001.
Okay.
And that does not include Dwayne Haskins, who you figure will start at some point this year, which will make it even 20.
All right, so Jason Campbell.
Yes.
Wait, I just listed them all.
Well, I'm the one in the game. You lost.
Yeah, let Wiggy have a victory lap here, would you? Come on.
Let me enjoy.
There's some really good names on here. Fourier did name a ton of them, but there's some really, really
good
gems.
Yeah, he was ripping them off too fast. Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Gus Frerotte.
No, that's too old. You got to go back. He's living in like the late 90s NFL. Is where that's his sweet spot. How about this? This is sort of in order.
Okay.
Tony Banks.
All right. Yep.
Jeff George.
Wow. Gus Frerotte was
pre these guys.
Jesus.
Shane Matthews.
Okay.
Nice Florida quarterback. Patrick Ramsey.
All right.
Danny Werfel, also Florida quarterback. Tim Hasselbeck.
Okay.
Mark Brunell, Jason Campbell, Todd Collins, the local guy.
Oh, that's my guy.
Donovan McNabb.
Okay.
Walpole High School.
Rex Grossman.
Grossman.
John Beck, I think BYU. Robert Griffin III for a couple of years there. Then Kirk Cousins. Then Colt McCoy. Alex Smith. Josh Johnson got 3 starts last year. Mark Sanchez got a start. And then Case Keenum to begin this
year.
So
now we are Christian Iyer, 1-1.
We're all tied
up.
Well, there's an asterisk by yours.
There's no asterisk by mine. No. You got it wrong.
So I said this during the week.
You got cute and tried to go with Haskins.
You're right.
The Cleveland Browns get a lot of flack for like their quarterback situation.
Oh, the Redskins.
Many bad ones they've had.
Yeah.
I remember when I played for Washington, I remember looking at it. They were searching for a quarterback then. They draft Campbell, yet they have Mark Brunell. And at the time, Campbell had like 2 different offensive coordinators. Sure enough, they bring in another one, then another one. They completely ruined him. And then just go look at Robert Griffin III, ruined him. They have a history of just screwing up the quarterback position. I would say just, if not worse, just as bad as Cleveland.
It really is.
But I bet you could say that with a lot of teams, though.
No, I think...
Look at that team. They've had more... Look how many first-round picks they've had. And they've screwed the pooch on all of them.
So Patrick Ramsey, Jason Campbell, and Robert Griffin III, and now Dwayne Haskins were all first-round picks.
But couldn't you say that with a lot of teams, though? Like a lot...
Since
you're talking about Brady.
Give me... So the Browns, the teams.
Yes. The Browns, you could. The Browns was like Brady Quinn, Brandon
Wheaton.
What about
Jacksonville?
Would they take Bortles in the first round? Who else?
No, not first round picks, but just a lot of quarterbacks.
Jacksonville had Mark Brunell for years.
No, since Brady, right?
Since 2001.
Yeah, this is the game that we've been playing for the past 2 weeks.
This is a stupid game. You think it's a stupid game just because you lost?
I think it's an entertaining game.
You make up the rules as we go.
I don't think the rules are starting. The rules were different last week.
And some guy named Tress Way actually started one game.
But since the rules are, since Brady started at quarterback since 2001 till now.
Now they're actually more stable. The Jaguars
is Jacksonville.
Well, because they had Brunell in the very early days. Then they had Byron Leftwich for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had David Garrard for a little bit.
Okay.
Blaine Gabbert was terrible, but they had him, Henny. Then they had Bortles for 3-4 years.
Right.
And Let me ask you a question.
Minshew and Foles.
Which side would you pick on this? Okay. Does it show how badly teams screw up their quarterback situation, or does it actually show how tough it is to pick a quarterback and find a quarterback?
Ooh.
Do the Redskins screw it up, or is it just, does it show that it's freaking hard? It's hard to find a quarterback.
Oh, man, that's a good one right there.
I should get an extra point for that.
All right, let's think about it. We'll pick that up on the other side.
The game's over, Christian. I won.
2-1 for it. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. We got more of your phone calls. Again, Tommy Kern will join us at 11:30. That's also when we'll get our full list of inactives. It's NFL Sunday here on WEEI.
This Monday at 7, it's Boomer Esiason on the Greg Hill Show. Brought to you in part by DCU. Proud supporters of the Boomer Esiason Foundation and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. Helping Team Boomer provide tools for those with cystic fibrosis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.